Yeah, we're having a problem with this one projector, and it's driving us completely crazy. Maybe you too. Now, for those of you that aren't distracted by little things like that, you didn't even notice the projector kept blinking. Now, for the other people, they didn't notice anything else but the projector blinking. And now we're watching John. Did he get it? Oh, John, give John a hand. It's always fun to watch things about kids and how they respond to different things and their perspective or their view on things. This morning, we're going to talk about a child's view. Now, we all know the story, and we've heard the story, many of us, lots of times, about Joseph and Mary, them hearing from an angel that they're going to have a baby, the baby that's going to be born. It's interesting, if you really look in the story and you start thinking about the story, what we're reading, I don't know if the angel said more than was written down, but there's a lot of gaps. Like, you're going to have a baby, and it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. They didn't say when. Didn't say if she was going to be married when she had this child or whether she'd be a single parent. When the angel came to Joseph, it didn't really tell him, you're going to be going to Bethlehem for this. Otherwise, he would have made plans, I'm sure, earlier to do that. Lots of gaps in there, but the story that Joseph and Mary, they're going to have a baby, angel shows up to them, and then all of a sudden they have to travel to Bethlehem. The reason they had to go there was for a census. Now, what's a census? A census is where they count how many people they have in a certain area. Every so often we have one in Canada. They count how many people live in Orangeville and what the age groups are and everything. Well, the Romans did that because they wanted to make sure they were taxing everybody. I don't know, maybe our government does the same, I don't know. But they were counting all the people because they want to make sure that we knew how many people were in this area and that everybody was being taxed. So you had to register there so we know that you existed, where you live, so we, when it came time for tax season, we could come knocking on your door. So they get to Bethlehem. The only place they had to stay was in a stable. And so in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now, imagine on that same night, there are shepherds on a hillside watching sheep. There's this shepherd man who's getting ready to dressed and preparing to go in for the night shift. See, the gay guys are finishing up, the guy for the night shift, so he's gone ready. All those of you who do night shifts, you understand this. He's preparing, getting ready, and his little boy goes up to him and says, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, can I go with you? Mommy said it was okay." Now, I don't know if your kid's ever done that, but many times in our house, they said, "Mommy said it was okay," when mommy hadn't said anything at all. But mommy said, "It's okay, I don't have school tomorrow." And he goes, "Okay," his dad said, "sure, you can come along with me, but hurry up, we have to leave now." This little boy's name was Ben. So here's Ben and his dad, they're going to go to watch the sheep. And as they're traveling there to get to the hillside in Bethlehem, the sun is going down, it's starting getting dark. And so his father says to little Ben, he says, "Ben, now you have to understand that when we go there, you have to stay really close to me. Because when we're watching the sheep, sometimes there's bears and wolves and other animals that try to attack them to kill them. And even if there's not those, we've had times where there's been thieves that come and try to steal the sheep. So Ben, you need to stay really, really, really close to me." He says, okay, daddy, I'll stay really close to you. And they go, little Ben is feeling pretty proud of himself. here he is watching the sheep, and every once in a while this little lamb would wander off, and Ben would go over there and get the sheep and bring them back to the flock, and he was really helping, and he was so proud that he could help his dad watch the sheep. In fact, when he talked to the other men that were there, he said, you know something? When I go up, I'm going to be a shepherd just like my dad. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says this. And there were shepherds living out on the in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He will be a sign to you. You will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The angel appears, and a super bright, intense light happens. And as that angel is there, and the shepherd men are afraid, little Ben, he runs and hides behind his dad and closes his eyes. You know what it's like for kids when they have a bad dream? They close their eyes, and they think that they're going to be safe, that nobody can get to them. Or they put their sheet over their head, and the monsters won't get them. You know, that force field? Little Ben, he's hiding behind his dad. He's afraid. And finally, after this is all over, the angel leaves, and little Ben, he sneaks out and peers behind his dad to make sure it's safe to come out. And then he comes out, Dad, he says, Dad, what was that? Was that a ghost? Was that a spirit, Dad? Or was it an alien? Can you imagine a little child seeing that, not understanding or not even knowing? Can you imagine you seeing that? Right? This little child not knowing what this was and what was happening. He goes, no, son, that was an angel. The angel said that the Messiah has been born in Bethlehem. But Dad, what's a Messiah? What is that? Well, you understand, Ben, that a Messiah, there was a prophecy a long, long time ago, hundreds of years ago, saying that there would be a king coming and he would rule over us and he would set us free. But Dad, is what the angel said true? I don't know, son. I don't know. But we're going to Bethlehem to find out. Okay, Dad, okay, but I want to go too. And they're traveling along, and they had to come off the hill and go down into town, and they had to wander through town trying to find it, the stable. I don't know. I don't know how many stables they went to. Because they said that you're going to find a baby in a stable. Well, Bethlehem was big, and I'm sure there was more than one stable in Bethlehem. And so they're traveling around, maybe from stable to stable, looking, peering in the stables. Nope, no baby there. Walk around. Nope, no baby there. Finally, they find a stable that has the baby Jesus there. Little Ben looks in, and he's confused. He sees this little baby wrapped in cloths, but lying in a food trough for animals. Dad, I don't understand. I thought you said we're going to see a king. Aren't we here to see a king? I thought kings were born, or baby kings were born in palaces, not in barns where the animals eat. And his dad looks at little Ben and says, "You know, little Ben, this is the right place. Remember what the angel said? The angel said we would find him in a stable or a barn. And he would be in the place where the animals are fed, a manger. And that he'd be wrapped in cloths." You see, Ben, babies aren't born in barns. This is not normal. This is unusual. This has to be the baby that they were talking about. So he says, little Ben, he looks and he goes, "Wow, I've never seen a baby king before. They stay there for a while, and they talk to Mary and Joseph, and they're looking at the baby Jesus. Eventually, they decide that they're going to go, and then leave. They go back to the sheep for a while, and then after that, they go home. And as soon as they got home, Ben could hardly wait to tell his mom about all the things that had happened. Kids, you imagine what it would be like to be there? Imagine what it like to be part of that whole experience for that first Christmas.
Okay, we got two. Perfect. Come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up. There's lots of room. Everyone can just kind of sit right around here. Everyone sit right around here, okay? Everyone can hang out. I'm going to slide this over a bit. Lots of space. Okay, great. Come on in. Sit down on the floor. Sit down on the floor. All right. All right, got kids facing every which way, which is all right. I'm going to walk around a little bit. Okay, Pastor Paul asked, I'm going to go to the front for a second. Pastor Paul asked what you guys would think the first Christmas was like. And so I'm going to ask you guys a couple questions, all right? And we're going to see just how well you've been paying attention every time the Christmas story was told, okay? So, as a group, we're going to figure this out and tell the Christmas story, all right? I'm going to pass the mic around, and we're going to see what happens. So, how does the Christmas story start? What happened first? Okay, Daniela. How does it start?
Ben asked his dad if he could come with him to watch the sheep.
Okay, that's Pastor Paul's Christmas story. What about the real Christmas story? That's good that you've been paying attention, though. That's awesome. What about the real Christmas story?
An angel told Mary that she was going to have a son.
Yeah, okay, so an angel told Mary that she was going to have a son. What happened next? Who knows what happened next? Okay. Is Mary going to be married to Joseph?
Married is married by Joseph.
Yeah, Mary was going to marry Joseph. That's right. So what happened next? So an angel told Mary she was going to have a baby, and Mary was supposed to be married. Mary's going to be married to Joseph. What happened next? Who knows? Who knows? What happens next in the story? Who else was involved? What are the other people? Okay, I'll go over here. Okay, what happened next?
The kid hides behind his dad.
It's Pastor Paul's story again. I love it. The kid hid behind his dad. Okay, but who was the kid? How did the kid know about Jesus? What happened? Who was the kid?
Ben,
what was what was Ben's dad's job?
Watch the sheep.
He watched the sheep. So he was what's that word? A shepherd. Yeah, exactly. Okay, but where were the shepherds? Because Mary and Joseph didn't live with the shepherds. So where were the shepherds? Okay, I'm going to go back here again. Oh, yeah.
A field.
A field where?
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem, that's right. So the shepherds were in a field near Bethlehem, and Mary and Joseph were going to have a baby. Is that all that happened? What happened next? How did Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem? Rashawn?
By a donkey, I think.
By a donkey? So they just hopped on a random donkey and went to Bethlehem? Kind of? What happened? I'm going to stand over here and reach over.
They walked there.
They walked there. Yeah, with the donkey, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they walked there. Why did they go there? Pastor Paul mentioned. Why did they go to Bethlehem?
Because baby Jesus was born.
Baby Jesus was going to be born? That's in Bethlehem, that's right. That was a prophecy. Remember that word that Pastor Paul said? Okay, what happened next?
The angel told the shepherds.
The angel told the shepherds, that's right. So Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem. The angel told the shepherds. Ben got scared, right? That happened next, all right? What did the shepherds do? Does anyone know what happened?
Went to find Jesus.
Shepherds went to find Jesus. Where was Jesus? Yeah, go over here again. Oh, yeah, where was Jesus?
In a barn.
In a barn, in a stable. He was laying in a manger, that's right. All right. What happened after the shepherds went to see Jesus? This is where it gets tricky. Who knows what happened after the shepherds went to see Jesus?
They just go all the way there.
They did. They went all the way there. And Esther, what happened next?
The wise men saw a strange new star.
Wiseman saw a strange new star. I wonder what happened next. Pastor Paul, maybe you can tell us what happened next in this story. Yeah. All right, guys, let's head back to our seats and see what happens next.
I apologize in advance for messing your child's story of Christmas up. And all the work you're going to have to do to correct all the errors in the story. Ben is part of Christmas now. So sometime after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph found a place to rent in Bethlehem. They stayed there for a while. Joseph got a job at a woodworking shop. I'm really going to mess the story up for you guys. So he's been working there. They've been there. And Jesus is growing up, and he's making friends with the neighborhood kids. And then one day, these weird or strange, unusual guys show up to the neighborhood. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, or wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Going down to verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with the mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasures, presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The neighborhood was in a buzz. The crowd started to form. These guys that had come to the neighborhood. There was a little girl next door. Her name was Elizabeth. Her mother called her Lizzie for short. Mom, who are these guys that have come to the neighborhood and all this crowd that is around here? I don't understand. Well, honey, These men are wise men. They are well-educated. They are wealthy. They know about science and wisdom, and they understand the stars. They usually hang out with kings and rich people. Lizzie asked, "Why are they at my friend's Jesus' house?" Her mother says, "Well, Lizzie, I don't know why. Why don't we go over next door, and there's a crowd around there, and we'll see what is going on." And so you go over there, and they're looking at this, and the wise men there, and everything happening, and then all of a sudden they start presenting gifts to Jesus. Lizzie looks at her mom and says, "Mom, why are they giving Jesus gifts?" Why are they putting things in front of them? Why are they bowing down at his feet in front of him? And that I'd never seen that before. Adults giving gifts to little kids and bowing down in front of them. Well, honey, usually that's something they would do for a baby king. Lizzie looks at her mom. Is Jesus, my friend, a baby king? The little girl watches the wise men and sees them and what they're doing and bowing down to worship Jesus. She says to her mom, if Jesus is a king, I want to bow down before him too. And before her mom notices, she sneaks away from her, slips through the crowd, gets up beside the wise men, and kneels in front of Jesus. It doesn't Lizzie give us a great example of how we should humble ourselves like a little child before Jesus? It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. How does a child act? When my kids were younger, my oldest son, maybe about six, they were out playing with their friends in the neighborhood. We lived on a cul-de-sac, and they were playing with their bikes, riding around the circle, and all of a sudden, I noticed that his friend's bike wasn't working, and they were trying to fix it, and eventually, they couldn't fix it, so they came to me, and they asked me if I would do it. I go over there, I look at it, and I realize all it was is the chain was loose and needed to be tightened, so I put it together and fixed it, tightened the chain, and I was all finished and gave the bike back to them. They were so excited, and my son looked at his friend, and he said to him, I told you my dad could fix anything. It didn't take him long to realize that dad couldn't fix anything. And at one time in his life, he didn't think his dad could fix anything. But at that moment, as a little child, he has such faith and belief in me that nothing was impossible for me. Coming to Jesus like a little child. Having faith and belief in him that there is nothing impossible, nothing that he can't do. When we come to Jesus, we need to lay aside our feelings of inferiority or maybe superiority. Humble ourselves like little children, putting our complete faith and trust in Jesus. Because you know something? There is truly nothing he can't do. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. We would all do really well to have a child's view of Christmas and Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you that you came the way you did. Lord, you came and you were the example of humility. You humbled yourself to come like a man in the form of a little child. Because of your love that you have for us. Lord Jesus, help us to see you like a little child, to have that faith and that trust in you, that even though we don't understand, and when we're afraid, we hide behind you, and when we have questions, we go to you to ask for the answers, and when we just can't figure out what to do, we just turn to you and say, God, I know you can work it out. I know you will work it out. I trust you. Help us to have that kind of heart. Just keeping your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. If you're here this morning and the journey of your life has been hard, it's been difficult, and finding your way through. And you've been trying to do it on your own. It's not working. But you're here this morning, right now, at this moment, and you say, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to come to you Jesus, I want to surrender my life to you. If you want to do that this morning, just give your life over to Jesus and trust him like a little child. I'd encourage you to just say this prayer between you and God after me. Lord Jesus, I'm here now. I tried to be independent and do everything on my own. I'm failing. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be like the child who puts her faith and trust in you. So that's what I do right now. I give my life to you. Please take it. Forgive me of all my wrong, all the sin, all the stuff in my life. I surrender to you. Help me to live for you forever. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for another moment. As we're here and you said that prayer with me, I want to welcome you into the family. A great life of faith as we're walking and getting closer to Jesus. And as you made that decision, there's going to be a lot of questions you're going to have. And we have for you a Bible with some information that's really going to help you on this. And so if you're here and you said that prayer, I would encourage you just to quickly raise your hand and we'll make sure you get that Bible right now. Is there anyone that said that prayer? Just quickly raise your hand. Maybe you're afraid to raise your hand or we didn't notice it. You can still get that Bible and that information at the guest services table at the back. We just don't want to hurry this time. It's very important. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the person that raised their hand. We thank you for the people that said that prayer. Lord, be on them and in their life. Lord Jesus, help them, guide them, lead them. Lord Jesus, help us to see you in everything around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask the kids one more time to come up and join me. We do have two up here already. Hopefully that doesn't fall. All the kids can jump up, join me. Come on up. We'll sit right around here again. Sit right around here. Come on up. Quick. Come on up. Pastor Paul just prayed that God would help us see Jesus all around us. And you know, Jesus has promised us that he's never going to leave us. And so he's always around us, right? Yeah, he is. He is. So I got to ask you guys a question. What is this? What is this? Just shout it out. A candy cane, that's right. This is a candy cane. And you see these a lot around Christmas, right? Yeah? Do you think this candy cane is enough for everyone here? If I gave this to this group and said, okay, everyone, take a piece. No? Does anyone want this? Everyone, maybe. Everyone's like, maybe if we break it small enough. Does anyone want one? Here. I got another one. Here you go. Whoop, not looking. Just throwing candy at you. Hey, whoop, there's one. There's another one. Do the parents want any? Jaden wants one. Nice catch. Here we go. I got a couple more. Here, go nuts. Whee! Yeah? Okay, here you go. Couple more. It's sharp. Okay. Whoops. I just stepped on someone. What about this one? Should I throw this one? No, that's a bad idea. You trade me? One of those for this one. That you drive a hard bargain, Esther. Okay, what I want you guys to do is look at the candy canes, all right? So if you have a candy cane, or if you don't have a candy cane, you can see this one. What do you see on this candy cane? Okay, what do you see?
There's red and white.
There's red and white, that's right. What else do you see?
Lines.
Lines, for sure. What do you see?
A pattern.
A pattern, cool. A couple more.
A J-shape.
A J-shape? Whoa, that's cool. Yeah, exactly. So there's lots of different things that you can see in this candy cane. You can see the red, which could represent Jesus' blood. That's right. What about the white? What do you think the white could represent? Yeah.
I forgot.
Okay, that's okay. Daniela, what does the white represent? Sin? I don't think white represents sin. Jax, what does the white represent? God? Really close. So the red represents Jesus' blood. The white represents how he washes us clean. He washes us white as snow, right? And the red is Jesus' blood. Remember the reason Jesus came to die on earth? Jesus came to earth? Why? What was the reason for that? Esther, why do you think Jesus came to earth?
So he could die for our sins.
So he could die for our sins. So he could forgive us, right? So he could make a way. So what you can do is look at the candy cane, and you can see the red, and you can see the white, and you can remember that Jesus came to die on the cross and forgive us of our sins and make us white. You also mentioned that you saw a J, which is really cool. So it's a J to you guys, now it's a J to you guys. J. And the J obviously represents Jesus, that's right. Or joy, that's right, because Jesus makes us happy, right? There's one more thing that I think this could represent. Esther knows it, I'm not gonna pick you, because you know it too well. What else? Okay. Tenny, what do you think the last thing is?
A cane.
A cane? Who carries around canes? Shepherds, that's right. It kind of looks like a shepherd's staff. You know, one they'd walk around with? Maybe not one this small, but one this big, right? So it could represent a shepherd cane. Yeah. So all of these things can remind us about Jesus. Right? We can see Jesus all around us. And so as Christmas time comes and you're celebrating Christmas, every time you see a candy cane, I want you guys to remember Jesus and how he came to earth and the reason for that, okay? Is that cool? Kind of? You want me to give this away? Maybe. To one of the parents. I like that. Maybe, who knows, maybe it'll show up in a stocking. Maybe mine. No, what we're going to do now, we're going to pray, okay? We're going to pray one more time, all right? Actually, I got a question. Do any of you want to pray? Okay, I got one in the back. All right. Can you stand up? Do you want to tell everyone your name? Stand up with me.
Sheila.
Okay, Sheila, do you want to pray for everyone?
Not really.
Not really? That's okay. All right. Okay. Does anyone else want to pray? Okay. We want to pray here. All right. Let's pray, okay?
My name is Anissa.
Anissa. Do you want to pray, Anissa? Okay, let's pray.
Thank you, God.
That's good. Thank you, God.
For today.
Thank you for coming to earth.
Thank you for coming to earth.
And dying on the cross for our sins.
For dying on the cross for our sins.
And thank you for being all around us.
Well, thank you for being all around us.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good job. That's awesome. Well, everyone, God bless. Thank you for coming today. And remember, anytime you see a candy cane, what it represents. All right, the worship team is going to lead us in another song. But God bless you as you go. Merry Christmas. There's goodies out in the foyer. There's also the Guatemala team. They've got some